Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Welcome to the program here. As always, you're invited. If you want to join the show, the number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here tonight, it's Ian.
And it's Bonnie.
And Aria is out tonight. She got called in to deliver pizzas for the night because, well, we got hammered by a major snowstorm here in New Hampshire over the last 24 hours. And I've been saying that, you know, or you were saying, Bonnie, that this has been a pretty weak winter so far. And it has been. It's been pretty warm. In fact, it's not just here in the U.S. We learned last week that in Europe they've been having warmer temperatures, which is why we haven't heard anything about, like, crazy shortages of energy happening yet in Europe, given all of the, you know, the situation that they've been dealing with no Russian oil or limited access to it. So it's been a warmer winter overall, but it did get cold enough to hit us pretty hard with a snowstorm. So we dug out of like over a foot of snow.
It doesn't even have really much to do with how cold it is. Like, it's been colder this winter, but with less snow on the ground. And this time it's like in the 30s, but there's like over a foot of snow outside. Like, it's taller than my dog.
Yeah. And so that's what we've been dealing with a lot of the day today. But there's all kinds of interesting things here in the news tonight. And, by the way, we do have a Coco Cam on our cam feed tonight over at video.freetalklive.com. So if you want to see Coconut, he is in our third host seat over at video, or rather watch.freetalklive.com. So yeah, it's Ian and Bonnie here tonight, and Bonnie, you had some interesting items to discuss this evening. When we get a chance, we can also talk about this guy that has a sex doll that he's calling his girlfriend. That's something that I've had in show prep for a little while. Plus, antidepressants, here's a surprise, they can cause emotional blunting. But before we get into that story,
wasn't that just like common knowledge?
You would think, but this is, you know,
that's
breaking
what
news, apparently.
Seems like people that are on it say that all the time, like, oh, I'm glad to be on my antidepressants. The only thing is it kind of gives you, like, no emotions. I see that constantly.
Yeah, we can talk about that. It's in the news now, so, I mean, if it's something people were saying, now there's a study behind that. But, Bonnie, you had a story about a medical journal, the American Medical Journal, I believe it, or Journal
American
of Medicine.
American Journal of Medicine.
That is saying that believing in freedom is bad for you.
Yes. This is from independent.org, or the Independent Institute. It says, belief in freedom is bad for you. So is distrust of government, according to a study in the American Journal of Medicine. Quote, one possibility relates to a distrust of government or belief in freedom that contributes to both vaccination preferences and increased traffic risks. So, it's kind of a weird way to just start off the article,
yeah.
But they're saying in the study from the American Journal of Medicine, that's a quote from it, and they're saying that they tested 11,270,763 individuals. 16% had not received a COVID vaccine, and 84% had received a COVID vaccine. The cohort accounted for the cohort of scientists.
No, that would be a cohort of the people they included in the study.
Oh, the cohort accounted for, okay, so the people who had not, 6,682 traffic crashes. Unvaccinated, oh wait, what's the cohort?
The cohort would, I believe, be the 11 million
them?
People.
So all of them accounted for 6,682 traffic crashes. Unvaccinated individuals accounted for 1,682 traffic crashes, which is 25%. Equal to a 72 6% increased relative risk compared with those vaccinated.
Why in the world would they even consider looking at whether or not somebody was vaccinated in regards to a traffic crash?
They're trying to say that because those people who didn't get vaccinated likely don't trust the government, that means that they are more risky when driving. It says, quote, these data suggest that COVID vaccine hesitancy is associated with significant increased risks of traffic crash. The authors contend that does not betoken a strong case. I don't know. This article is kind of crappy.
I mean, it doesn't really seem significant to me. I mean, if we're talking about, they're saying that 16% of the 11 million people had not taken the vaccine. But 25% of 25% of the traffic crashes were associated with the unvaccinated individuals. I mean, that doesn't seem like
25%
a huge increase.
Of 25% of the crashes were unvaccinated, but only 16% of the whole 11 million were the unvaccinated people.
Mm-hmm.
So they're saying that they accounted for more crashes than they should have. Apparently, 72% increased relative risk.
This sounds so familiar. I feel like there was some sort of story like this back. I realize this is new story. It came out this month at the Independent Institute, which their website is down. No, it came out on January 12th, according to this. But I remember hearing something very similar to this back in like 2020 when we were doing, you know, basically all COVID-related coverage. They've been trying to suggest this, I think, for a little while. Is there anything else that you thought was worth sharing here?
Well, the rest of this article is them going into, like, why somebody might be vaccine hesitant. They're saying the the scientists on this didn't consider why somebody might be distrustful of the government or distrustful of the vaccine. And they're going into why. We already know why.
Sure.
So I don't think anything is really more interesting than that. It's just that they're trying to say that if you don't trust the government, you might be more, you know, less risk adverse and therefore at risk, and it's bad for you. That's what they concluded by saying that people who aren't vaccinated get in more traffic accidents.
Mm. Well, I mean, I don't really understand the point of the study. Are they trying to scare people who are risk averse? Or rather less risk-averse, into becoming more concerned about risk, like that they should follow what the government says? Are they trying to change people who are already against the government into people who are for the government simply because they're supposed to be worried that they might get in a traffic accident?
I think the idea more would be those people who did follow the law, or not follow the law, follow the government science and get vaccinated. They're supposed to look at the other people like, wow, those people are a danger on the road, too. Mm-hmm. They're a danger to us because they don't follow the rules.
Okay, so this is kind of like patting those people on the back. Like, oh, you're a good little citizen. You are safer. See, here's the statistic showing that you're a safer person than these dangerous people over here.
Yeah, I think the implication is trying to be like, because when I first heard about this, I thought they were saying just like, you'll be driving and you'll just die of COVID or something like that. But now I think that they're trying to say people who didn't get vaccinated, they just blow through red lights. They just speed everywhere they go, you know.
Did you see the story? This, I guess, is kind of related to this, Bonnie, that the World Economic Forum, of course, their meeting was happening last week. And I don't know how true this is. It could be one of those total fake news stories or whatever, but it was interesting nonetheless. The claim was that the World Economic Forum was insisting that the pilots who were bringing in their speakers and bringing in the, you know, the elites, that the pilots be unvaccinated.
Unvaccinated? Mm-hmm. No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, even though everyone that
they would be more risky and get into more traffic accidents in the sky, right?
Well, but at the same time, they wouldn't have an increased risk of having a heart attack while they were flying the plane. So, again, I don't know if that's true. I don't know how they would find that information out, because I doubt that the World Economic Forum was going to, you know, announce that publicly, that that was their policy, considering that they were requiring vaccinations like you had to prove your vaccination status in order to actually get into the
World
Economic
Forum. So where did that information come from?
I don't know. Like I said, it might have been just one of those fake news stories, but it was interesting nonetheless. I did not dig deep into it. If you want to comment, though, you can bring up whatever you want here. I think there's actually an interesting part of this story, Bonnie, at the end where they kind of speak on just the idea of not trusting the government. So I think that's worthy of sharing here. But first, let's go to Major Payne on the line in Michigan. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Major.
Hey, Ian. Yeah. Well, in order to compile statistics, you got to deal on data that's at least a year or two old, right? So this goes back to the beginning of the pandemic.
Hmm.
Well, of course, you know me. I don't trust the government. I flip the bird every time I can.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't take the jab, but I was one of those, what do they call them, essential workers, mandatory, you know.
Yep, essential.
Mm-hmm.
Essential workers, yeah. So I was out there in the front line all the time, you know. But I'm a carpenter, so I don't have to deal with a whole lot. I mean, it's not like I'm slinging bags in Walmart's grocery line or nothing, dealing with 500 people a day or nothing.
Okay.
But still, I mean, I wasn't scared of it. And, on the other hand, when I was out there driving during those mandatory working times, I was the only dog on the road.
Yeah.
I could have done 120 miles an hour everywhere I wanted to go.
Yeah, that was an interesting time, that's for sure, when all the roads were basically just empty.
Yeah, there's this road. It's 1604. Like, it's a huge, huge loop that goes all the way around San Antonio. But the north part of it is always so full of traffic, and everybody basically speeds on it anyway. It's like four-lane highway. But during COVID, it was crazy. Like, there was hardly any cars, and everyone was going like 90 on it.
Well, didn't somebody set a new record for the Cannonball Run, which is, I believe, a full drive across the country during the COVID thing? They were easily able to just sail across the whole country in no time flat because there was no one on the roads.
That doesn't surprise me, but I'd be interested to hear it. What was I thinking? Oh, yeah, have you ever, I don't know if you guys have ever driven around Chicago, but it's another one of those four-lane madhouses.
Mm. No, thank goodness. I've never been to Chicago except for the airport.
Me too, airport only.
If you're not in the lane that you need to turn off on your exit like 2 miles before you get there, it ain't happening.
Wow.
Unless you've got like a Ferrari or something.
Major, anything else you want to share tonight?
Well, just like I said, flip them off every time you can. Don't trust them. And there's a reason that they compile the statistics. It's because us old road warriors was the only ones out there.
Thank you, Major. By the way, I think we did get your check.
Yeah, your amp.
Bonnie, so thank you
so thank
for
you.
That.
Yeah. Cool,
definitely appreciate it, man. And have a great night. Appreciate your call. The number here is 603-283-6160. So I just want to jump ahead here in your story, Bonnie, because I thought there was something else worth sharing in it. And they point out that Pfizer and Moderna vaccines do not prevent acquisition or transmission of COVID-19. Joe Biden and Dr. Anthony Fauci were shot up more times than a Toronto junkie, yet both tested positive. That should be enough to make anybody hesitate, and the Pfizer vaccine raises another issue. The Food and Drug Administration sought court approval to delay release of the data used to approve the Pfizer vaccine until 2096, a full 75 years, in effect a proxy for never. As attorney Aaron Seary notes, vaccines are now widely mandated, and those injured by the vaccine cannot sue Pfizer, which profits from its product. That's because they protect the vaccine manufacturers from any kind of lawsuits. And
so
any
stupid.
Kind of liability.
It's like the idea that people are just okay with that because it's like, well, they're trying to save people. If they accidentally kill everyone on Earth, it's not their fault. I mean, it's just like so ridiculous.
Well, I mean, the odds that they're going to kill everyone on Earth are pretty low. But even if they kill 1%, they can't be held accountable for that. They cannot be held to any sort of responsibility for that. Whereas normally when it comes to medicines in the United States, and I'm not saying I support the FDA, I don't think they should exist at all, but normally there's a ridiculous process to get a medication to marketplace, and if it kills a very small percentage or injures a very, very small percentage of people, it's usually not even approvable, or it'll be unapproved. If it is approved, and then it starts being shown as being dangerous to people beyond what it was tested at, then they will they'll just reject that. They'll say, okay, well, you can't market this anymore, and they'll pull that off the market. That's not true of these vaccines because there's no liability whatsoever. It says here that was not true of the Salk and Sabin vaccines, which creators Jonas Salk and Albert Sabin gave away for free and which proved very effective against polio. According to,
it's like when people try to compare the COVID vaccine to things like, oh, when we first came up with polio vaccines, well, so many less people died. Such a different animal.
Well, I mean, that's because the new vaccines are mRNA, right?
Well, not just that. It's like nowadays the things that people get when they're little kids also injure them, and people aren't allowed to question it at all. Like, oh, my baby who's been talking since a normal age got his 2-year-old vaccines. Now he's autistic and nonverbal and acted like he was sick the day he got his vaccines and hasn't been the same since then. Oh, you're not allowed to question that. You're just crazy, you know.
According to the CDC, the COVID vaccines have brought reports of myocarditis, inflammation of the heart muscle, and pericarditis, inflammation of the outer lining of the heart. That would be bad for airline pilots who face regular medical testing to keep their job, so the pilots have grounds for vaccine hesitancy. Other possibilities for significant increased risk of a traffic crash include, quote, distrust of government or belief in freedom, unquote. They say here governments have been known to lie, indulge corruption, start destructive wars, and slap their own citizens into internment camps. Native peoples have good reason to distrust the American and Canadian governments without any association with increased risk of a traffic crash. In similar style, the authors come up short on reasons why people might believe in freedom. Runaway slaves certainly believed in freedom, otherwise they would have stayed on the plantation. A belief in freedom also inspired many to risk their lives fleeing Stalinist dictatorships such as Cuba, North Korea, and East Germany. It has been established that free societies outperform dictatorships on every indicator, particularly human rights. Belief in freedom is about a lot more than how it might factor into increased risk of a traffic crash. In fact, what we've seen over the years is there's actually studies that have been done that have shown, I believe there was one in Denmark, I don't know, 2 decades ago or something like that. It's been a while. Maybe they've redone it since then. But they found that when they actually took away all of the traffic control devices, and by traffic control, I mean like stoplights, signs on the side of the road telling you things, maybe as you're going around a curve, you know how they have those barriers on the sides of the road to stop you from like flying off the curb, supposedly, or the curve.
Dang, those seem pretty necessary.
Well, they took them away, and what they found was that when those things aren't there, people drove better. They didn't drive more crazy because the signs and the barriers and the lights weren't there. They actually drove more cautiously because they didn't know where the road ended or whatever, right? Like they didn't have that sense of safety. Like, oh, well, I can take this curve at 50 miles an hour instead of 35 miles an hour because there's a barrier there.
So, I don't know. I don't think people think like that about those little barriers.
The idea wasn't that it was a conscious thought. It was that it was a subconscious sort of awareness that because the barriers are present, people are more likely to drive faster. They're more likely to take risks that they otherwise wouldn't take.
I don't know. I just think in a non-government world, we would still have light up things that let you know that you're coming up on a curve.
You might. I mean, I don't know. It's hard to say what the market would come up with.
So evil about that. Like,
I'm not saying it's evil.
I mean, like, you drive with your subconscious, basically. Like, if you've ever been like, dang, I wasn't looking at the road for the last 10 minutes. How did that happen? It's because your subconscious was literally driving your car. And I don't see anything wrong with helpful subconscious cues on the roads. For one thing, when I didn't have bright headlights, there'd be plenty of times driving in New Hampshire where it's all one-lane highways, which are 10 times more dangerous than 4-lane highways, and it's a bunch of, like, swerves, because it's not really, like, mountains where we are, but it's, like, really hilly. It's a bunch of sudden curves where I was just like, oh my God. Like, I didn't know we were about to curve so suddenly, and luckily that thing, like, lit up with my headlights. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. I'm not saying that these things are per se bad. I was bringing it up as an example of how it is that more freedom does not mean necessarily more risk-taking. In fact, the opposite is true. If there's more, at least according to this study that they did, if there's more freedom on the roads, meaning less things telling you what to do, whether consciously or subconsciously, people would behave with less risk-taking, with fewer signs and things like that. Again, if it's a free market, I think you would see road owners wanting to make sure people were safer on their roads. They don't want to have to deal with traffic accidents. They don't want to have to deal with, you know, cleaning up a mess or dead bodies or whatever. They certainly don't want the word getting out that their roads are dangerous and have somebody take alternative paths. So I think that you probably still would see many of the same safety measures. But that said, I mean, you certainly would agree that some safety measures are overdone, right? Like a lot of stoplights here that just make no sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, ultra, ultra safety.
They could at the least just be stop signs.
There's a lot of cases like that. And there's a lot of cases where stop signs exist where they really shouldn't exist, where maybe you could have a stop sign on, you know, if you've got a four-way intersection and one of the two roads that's intersecting is the busy road, well, you let that road just go, right? And then the road where it's not as busy, then they have a stop sign or a yield sign, right? Like, okay, yield is even better than a stop, because then it's just like, okay, we trust you to pay attention. We trust your eyes and your brain to work, and you can look and you can see there's no trees or no bushes in the way or whatever, presuming that you can actually look down the road to see if there's anyone coming.
Or at the very least, just leave it the exact way it is, but don't have road sharks driving around, road pirates driving around.
Ticketing people
who say, oh, it says to stop, but I was just going to go because I can see that there's nothing there. You know, if it said stop, but it was really just like optional, be different.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that would be more of a legal change. And certainly it would cost money to change stop signs out into yield signs. So from a fiscal perspective, there's an argument for where you're coming from.
But we're agreeing on the same thing. I agree with you. I'm just saying that when you said the thing about those curvy highway things, that seems ridiculous to me. That doesn't seem like something that's like, oh, it's a government nanny state. That just seems like common sense. You need that there. Big cliff coming up. It's midnight. There's no lights around because New Hampshire hates lights. And you're going 50 miles an hour because the road is 50 miles an hour. And then suddenly the road just curves. It's pretty useful to have those, like,
saying it's not useful. I'm not making the argument against those things.
Okay.
I was bringing it up just as an example of to counter what this study is saying. The study is saying that belief in freedom equals greater risk-taking. And that may be true, but it's certainly not true when it comes to driving on the roads. In the case of driving on the roads, more freedom actually results in lower risk-taking as far as people and how they behave. The number here is 603-283-6160. If you want to join the show, the number is 603-283-6160. We're talking about trusting the government, which, unfortunately, way too many people believe in the government. Even after all of the things that they've done that prove their corruption, they still buy their lies. More coming up.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA News Update. The death toll from Saturday night's mass shooting in Monterey Park, California has risen to 11. According to the Los Angeles County Health Department, the latest victim was being treated for extensive injuries sustained in that shooting. The man who disarmed the gunman in that mass shooting speaking out. Brandon Say appearing on ABC's Good Morning America.
Something came over me. I realized I needed to get the weapon away from him. I needed to take this weapon, disarm him, or else everybody would have died.
Say said once he got the gun, he told the man to leave or he'd shoot. The gunman was later found dead in his van. Two students are dead after a shooting at a nonprofit mentorship program in Des Moines, Iowa. A teacher also injured. Police say multiple suspects were detained during a traffic stop about 20 minutes after the shooting. And a recession could be on its way for the U.S. economy. The Conference Board's leading economic index fell by 1% in December. John Schaefer, USA News.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue them up. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join the show here and you can bring up whatever you want and take control of the airwaves. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Ian and Bonnie here in the studio tonight. And I do want to thank A. Friedman for being a Free Talk Live supporter of our AMPS program. Gold level, which means that A. Friedman is contributing $10 a month to what we do here. AMPS stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. It's a way for you to get behind Free Talk Live and help us get the word out about freedom and liberty and why freedom is important and peace. If you like what we do here, then please help us out. And you can do that over at amps.freetalklive.com. You get some perks. You get access to things like the Amp Only podcast, which has the full radio show without any recorded commercials. And there's some other benefits as well. You can go and sign up through our Patreon over at amps.freetalklive.com. And again, thank you to A. Friedman for doing that. That's amps.freetalklive.com. Bonnie, you brought in a story here tonight from the Independent Institute, where the American Journal of Medicine has put out a study where they apparently looked at over 11 million people in, was it U.S. and Canada, I think?
Yeah, there was Canadian and United States doctors, so I think so.
Yeah, and they looked at the number of people of that group that had traffic accidents within the time frame they were looking at, I'm guessing within the last 2 years. And of the traffic accidents, they looked at how many were unvaccinated versus how many were vaccinated, and then looked at the total number of people and how many of them were unvaccinated. And they say that 16% of the total number had not taken the vaccine, while 25% of the traffic crash group or the traffic accident group had not taken the vaccine. So they're saying more people, you know, I don't know, 50% more roughly, or there was a 50% increase in your chance of getting into a car accident, if I'm reading
these numbers correctly. 72%. Increased risk.
Oh, was it 72%? Okay, thank you. You're right about that, yeah. 72% increased relative risk compared with those who were vaccinated. And the conclusion they came from this was that people who are not taking vaccines are not as afraid of taking risks.
They straight up said people who don't trust the government, it's bad for you. It's bad for you to not trust the government.
Yeah, meaning that you may be more likely to get into a car accident.
One thing I'd like to know is, like, what did they count as a car accident? They didn't say crash, like, you corrected yourself. Like, are they counting, like, fender benders? Are they counting, you know, just people running stop signs? Like, yeah. Who knows?
Well, it does say traffic crashes. 6,682 traffic crashes, but you're right. A fender bender is technically a crash.
Yeah.
If you want to comment here, you're welcome to join us. The number is 603-283-6160. Let's go to Stephen in Northwest Georgia. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Stephen.
Hey, real quick, I just want to, like, thank you guys for having a Patreon.
Sure.
I didn't realize you had it. I have it now.
All right.
I'm typically not able to stay up late enough to listen to the show because I'm working mornings now, and I love being able to listen to it.
Oh,
when
thank
I'm
you,
ready for work and when I'm at work and shoving it down my coworkers' throats.
You know, appreciate it.
Give them a healthy dose of freedom. But can we just, like, stop and take a moment and just realize that 90% of what the government, and not even, like, the U.S. government or the Georgia government or the New Hampshire government, but, like, governments, right, all of them, but 90% of what's come out of their mouth in the last, I don't know, 3 years or 300 years or 3,000 years or whatever is, here's why you should be afraid.
Mm.
Like, you should all panic. And when you panic, you should trust me because I am divine. Like,
yeah.
Can we just stop and realize that all of this is, like, to make you scared? And I'm sorry, like, different part of the world, hopefully you don't have to kick me off for saying this, but I was raised, if somebody bullies you, the second they lay hands, you lay hands back. Right? And I'm not advocating fighting. Well, I need to be careful. I'm not saying we should pick a fight with the government.
Okay,
but
good.
I am saying,
because it won't work very,
like,
well.
Well, I am saying, like, I'm the type of person that if a bully's like, hey, you should wear blue tomorrow, I'm wearing red and green and purple. Like, we, like, just make their lives harder and also, just be happy, right? Don't live your entire life afraid. If we listened to, if I did everything the government told me to do in my lifetime, I would probably be wearing a gas mask, which is going to be illegal soon. I would probably be hiding under a rock. And if anyone spoke any language besides English, I would cry because I was terrified that they were going to blow something up attack me with a box cutter.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right, Stephen, that the government lives off of people's fear. That is what is so important, that that they make people afraid, because if people aren't afraid, then they can't as easily be told what to do. And so that's why the government always has to have some sort of enemy of the moment. So for the last, you know, since 2001, the enemy has been so-called terrorists. That's been the fear that they've been spreading. And then, of course, in COVID times, they started spreading the fear about COVID.
And your neighbors who aren't doing enough to protect you.
What do you mean by that?
Like, my mask protects you.
Oh,
and right. My vaccine protects you.
Right. So your neighbor is now the threat.
Yep.
Your neighbor is now the person to be afraid of. And so, yeah, they've always got to have that. They've always got to have the enemy, the other, whether it be the Russians or your neighbors or the terrorists or whatever. You fill in the blank. Over whatever given time period, there's always some sort of thing that the government wants you to be afraid of. So you will give them your power. You will transfer your own authority over to these strangers, these psychopaths in D.C., or like you said, at the state government level as well, and give them total control over your life. That's what they want.
Yeah, I think the best remedy for that is to be happy and do that thing you've been wanting to do.
You mean whatever it is, right? That the person listening has been wanting to do that they haven't done?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good suggestion. Steven, anything else you want to share tonight?
I'm still praying for your, what do they call it, your sentencing.
Thanks,
hopefully,
man.
Hopefully they're freedom-minded.
I appreciate that. I have no belief necessarily that federal judges are per se freedom-minded, but hopefully he will understand that, you know, putting a peaceful person behind bars is contrary to, you know, someone who's never actually harmed anyone is contrary to, like, the purpose of putting people behind bars. But we've got a lot of great folks who've written letters so far, so thank you to everybody that has done that. If you would like to write the judge on my behalf and explain why you think that, I've been helpful to you in your life or to the community, then there's instructions on how to do that. Just go to letters.freetalklive.com. There's an address there that you can send it to as well. That's letters.freetalklive.com. Steven, thanks for the call tonight, man. I do appreciate hearing from you.
Well, and I agree with him that, so when you're a kid and you're taught, I mean, not everyone, but definitely it seems like a lot of people, I don't think that ever happened to me. I just never got bullied, but a lot of people get told, like, if a bully hits you, you hit him back. And I don't think it's, like, the best thing to teach your kid, but it's not really, like, wrong. Like, if somebody hits you, you know, defend yourself against
nothing
it.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with it. But
it just doesn't work.
I just think there, like he was trying to get at, there's more effective ways to do the thing. Like, you get bullied, you know, be a good person and make friends who will stick up for you and do what you want without apologizing to the bully. Don't be afraid. Don't live in fear. Tell them, you know, talk to them, as in saying, I'm not going to do what you're saying, dude, you know?
Yeah, well, and I think that when it comes to the government bully, you got to handle things differently. If it's just a schoolyard bully, then you are fully within your rights to defend yourself with some level of violence. And in most cases, bullies are actually cowards, and they don't want to really get into a fight. They just want to pick on people and get their lunch money or whatever. And if the mark or the potential victim is not going to just bend over and do what they're told, then the bully will pick on someone else. That's sort of the idea behind why you would want to fight back in that circumstance. But when it comes to the government bullies, the difference is, and the reason why violence is not a good plan in any way, shape, or form, is because government has what might be termed legitimacy in the minds of people. Most people don't see them as bullies, even though we know that that's what they are. We know that they are picking on people. We know that they go after peaceful people and they threaten them and they extort them and they lie to them and you know, they use the money that they steal from you to do more extortion and more threatening
and murdering
people around the world
and torture,
imprisoning peaceful people. So we know what they do, but unfortunately we're not in a place where most people do. And so most people believe the government's legitimate. They believe all of the propaganda that they've been sold.
Oh, if we didn't have them, warlords would take over. And they would imprison and torture and, you know, abuse people all over the world.
That's exactly what they're doing, of course. But they still don't see it, right? And so if you're violent in regards to the state threatening you, there's multiple reasons why that's a bad plan. One is people won't see what you're doing as a good thing. They will see it as you're a violent, crazy person and you need to be stopped. And then they will actually want the government to have more, oppression on their side. They will want to have more laws passed to protect them from so-called domestic terrorists or whatever. They will cheer having more government in their lives to protect them from these crazy, violent people, right? So that's one reason. There's also the sort of fundamental belief that I have that violence just doesn't solve problems. That generally, you know, there's nothing wrong with violence in defense of yourself or others. I'm not a total pacifist in that way. So I think that it can stop an attack in the moment. But I think generally the use of violence, especially against the government, is actually going to make matters worse because it encourages them to become more violent. You are ultimately becoming the thing that you hate by being like them, because violence is their tool. That is the thing that they know how to use. That's what they're prepared for.
And all the stuff you're saying is just a really practical way of saying, like, what a lot of spiritual people have discovered, as there's, you know, a energy force all around us. And when you're contributing to the dark side of it, it doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter what your meanings are behind it. If you're killing someone, you're killing someone. If there are people who feed off this dark energy, you're just feeding them. And it's a lot harder and a lot more courageous to find a way to do everything that you do with love and not let them give you their mind. When you take on the mind,
you become them.
Of them, you become them. You help them. You feed them.
Well, I mean, look at Jesus, for instance, as one of a myriad of examples of leaders in the past who, especially a spiritual leader, who set that example of taking the peaceful path rather than. I mean, he was being persecuted, right? Like he could have gone on some sort of crazy, violent attack or whatever.
Yeah, he knew it was coming. He talked about how his days were numbered.
Yeah, but he didn't go in that direction, and he showed the peaceful path is the way to go. It doesn't, you know, doesn't guarantee that you're not going to suffer, right? Like suffering is sort of as Buddha pointed out, that's, you know, part of life, right? Like that's, I mean, Buddhism believes that suffering is what life is, basically, at various different levels. But, you know, you don't want to create more suffering in the world by using violence. So, I mean, there's so many different examples of this as to why it's just not a good plan. I do like what Stephen was saying, right? Like, focus on other things. Focus on the things that maybe you haven't done that you want to do. And don't obey. Try not to. Because there's a difference between using violence and non-cooperation. And I think a lot of people who are frustrated by the government, they're always like, plotting, okay, how can I get back at these, you know, government people, or, you know, violent plans are going through their mind. And they always, it always seems like they believe that their choices are to either obey or to get violent. Like, there's never any kind of middle ground for those people of where you don't obey, but you also don't get violent. And you look at what are the other options for you. And there's actually a lot of them. There are a lot of options for people that are not willing to go to violence, but are also not wanting to do what they're told. And you can really ruin the government's day by throwing a wrench into the system, so to speak, by not obeying their diktats, by spreading the word about how to not obey them. And it doesn't have to be something where you're, like, on Front Street doing civil disobedience. That's sort of the most visible aspect of not obeying. But you can also just not obey quietly. There are a variety of different ways. People do this in business all the time, where they might not report all of the money that they're making to the federal government or whatever, right? Somebody comes in and pays cash, it goes into their pocket. So, I mean, there's ways that people do this that are very, very common. Now, of course, it can help if you are with other like-minded people who are also together not obeying the government in various different ways. There's not a guarantee that that's going to, again, protect you. They may decide to target you. They may decide to make an example out of you to try to intimidate other people into obedience. And, you know, they are somewhat successful at doing that sometimes. But if you can continue to get more people together, which is what a lot of us are doing here in New Hampshire with the Freedom Migration, where there are thousands of liberty-minded people who've come here to New Hampshire. And I'm not saying they're all, like, you know, civil disobedience people or non-cooperation people.
And that's what's cool about it. Like, you can find whatever type of, you know, activism you want to do, and you can find a whole bunch of other people doing, like, that exact type of thing. And you can find the people that agree with you on, like, this is the best thing we should be spending our energy on, and just hang out with those people and do that thing. And then there's other people who are going to be doing it a different way. You know?
Yeah, I think it's a really exciting movement to be a part of. And there was never any kind of libertarian civil disobedience prior to New Hampshire. I'd never heard of anything like that happening anywhere. And non-cooperation is another option. Who was I talking to the other day that they got a parking ticket? It was Richie. Richie, yeah. our Sunday night show host. He got one of those overnight parking tickets where in the wintertime in New Hampshire, if you are parked on the street in Manchester, the big quote-unquote big city here, if you're on one side of the street on, like, odd nights and then the other side of the street on even nights or something like that. I don't live in Manchester, so I don't know the exact rules, but it's something like that. You can be on the street. You just have to be on the correct side of the street or you will get a ticket. And so he was on the wrong side of the street because his landlord had threatened him over parking in that spot, so he moved because of his landlord, apparently. And then he got a ticket from the city.
Is he going to defend himself?
Yeah, he's going to try to take it to court. He's gone into the city hall and he's asked for his court date. And like the city hall people didn't even know what to do.
Yeah, I bet no one has ever done that.
Right.
Right.
And that's part of the problem is that not enough people are doing non-cooperation. So that's not civil disobedience. He didn't park there on purpose. He didn't announce in advance publicly that he was going to park on the wrong side of the street overnight as a protest against the snowplows. He's not against snowplows. He's not against clearing the street of snow. It's just that in this particular case, there was no snow. There was no, you know, ice or anything like that. It was one of those nights where cops are writing tickets to people just because it's revenue. And yep. They know that most people
are just going to pay it and not
pay it.
Not put up any type of a fight, like
right.
Take the town or city's resources by going to trial.
Exactly.
Make them actually work for once.
Yeah, and so these are little ways that the average person could make a difference. And the way that makes a difference is if you're more than just one person, if you are in a place where more than one person is doing things like this, then you become a pain in the butt for the county prosecutor or the city prosecutor or whatever. And it's like, do we really want to spend an hour in court trying to convict somebody so we can get a $50 parking ticket?
Yeah, they might just throw it out because they don't want to do that.
Good chance of it.
Which
We've seen
even
that happen.
Wouldn't even be like the best outcome. I think the best outcome is I really hope they give him a trial because I've heard some of his stories about when he's defended himself, I think, in Hawaii
before
we met him. And it's going to be really entertaining.
I agree with that. And that's what I told him. I said, I want to know like what's going on with this case. I want to know when the court dates are.
And not just entertaining, but it can be put on the internet and show other people, look, this can be done. And
that's right.
You know,
that's part of it. I think you make a good point there, Bonnie, because like, surprisingly, as boring as I consider these court videos that I've done to be, I mean, I think court's boring. It's not that interesting to watch it
well,
to me.
Not as Footloose is
well,
defending
Footloose
himself.
Is a little different. He's pretty wild and fun to watch. He gets loud, yells at judges, and gets away with it. So it's fun to watch that. But generally, like, I don't consider a court video to be a particularly motivational video. It's just like, this is what happened. Here it is for anybody that does want to see. And as it turns out, a lot of people do want to see these court videos. Some of the most popular videos on the Free Keen channel on YouTube, and I can't say on Odyssey because Odyssey doesn't have it hasn't been around as long and it doesn't have as many viewers. But the history is that some of the most watched videos are court videos. And that's because if somebody has like a speeding ticket or something real routine like that, a parking ticket or a speeding ticket, common stuff. People get these things all over the place. But there's not a lot of video out there of people going to court on a speeding ticket or people going to court on a parking ticket. But we have those videos. So anybody that's looking for a video of or you know, just searching for speeding ticket court or whatever is probably going to find our videos. And then they will actually get to see, like you're saying, someone going through the process. It's an educational experience for those people that are watching. It's not just for the people that are sitting in the court. I mean, it's obviously educational for them if they happen to be in the courtroom at that time. Of course, they always schedule things to where there's no one else in the courtroom except the free staters or the
and
the
then we go last.
And that has happened too. Although, to be fair, in Keene, they actually have scheduled our hearing sometimes before anyone else, which has never made any sense to me. But they have done that. And so, you know, setting that example is a really important thing to encourage other people, like, hey, look, we've done this, and you can do this too.
And maybe I'm a weirdo. I enjoy, you know, reading bills and going to court and going to hearings about bills, but I do find it inspiring. I think that it's really cool to watch videos of people going to court and just standing up for themselves. Even if they lose, it's just like, dang, you're the man anytime someone does that.
Well, and even if you quote-unquote lose,
woman,
it doesn't have to be a loss. It doesn't have to be that you pay them. You can refuse to pay the fine. I've never paid a fine in New Hampshire. Of all of the things I've ever been found guilty of, I've done community service. I've even actually paid money to a community group in lieu of paying a fine. I've actually had a judge approve that.
What kind of community group?
Like the community kitchen.
Oh.
They get their, you know, like the local homeless kitchen or whatever. They feed hungry people.
That's nice, because I can't trust that the government of Keene, the people we watched in their city council meeting, are actually allocating any money that I would have to give them, you know, to help anyone. I can't see that at all. Those people are greedy, awful, disgusting, gang members, lunatics, killers, thieves, mafia members, parasites.
Well, the good news is the money that the courts collect don't go to the city government.
Mm.
I mean, there's not much good news there, but it goes to the general fund, I believe, goes to the state.
Either way, putting it directly to a soup kitchen or something like that is a better option.
Yeah, I was surprised. I don't even remember how I came up with that particular idea.
Was it Judge Burke?
It was Burke, yeah, back in the day. I don't even remember how I came up with that idea. It was just like, hey, look, I'm not going to pay this, so how about I pay it to the local food kitchen rather than paying it to the court? And it kind of puts the court in an interesting predicament, because if the court denies the motion, it makes it look like the court doesn't care about the community.
Right.
Right? And that's, I believe it was denied at one point. I don't remember by which judge. So it's like, it's not a guarantee that it will always work, but it doesn't hurt to ask. And so that's one thing that I've done. And then, of course, if you can't get a payment in lieu of a fine, then you can just work community service. So there's always another option rather than...
Or go to jail for the night.
Yep, that's another option.
Which does mean you still lose, but...
You're always going to lose whenever you're up against the government. I mean, because even if you quote-unquote win, you still lost your time.
But at least record it and put it on the internet, because you can win hearts and minds.
That's true. Hour number two is on the way. You can join the show and bring up whatever you want. The number is 603-283-6160. This is Free Talk Live. More coming up.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences. Too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.